attachment theory was a psychoanalytic theory, but extend their field to the neuroscience, to clinic child behavioral observation, or to go to the school, seeing teachers and children, we can observe their behaviors, children behaviors, and you use psychoanalytic theory to understand their behaviors, we can detect early problems in infancy.
Welcome to the IPA podcast, Psychoanalysis on and off the couch. This is a podcast in which we will discover the world of psychoanalysis that lives beyond the couch, beyond the individual consultation room. We will meet psychoanalysts who work in dialysis units, prenatal clinics, corporate boardrooms, community centers, humanitarian organizations, and with vineyard workers, just to name a few. We hope these conversations expand our awareness of how broadly psychoanalytic thinking extends into our communities. Come listen, enjoy, and please share your comments on the webpage, ipaoffthecouch.org. Hello, welcome to today's podcast. I'm Harvey Schwartz, and my guest today is Dr. Umberto Persano. Dr. Persano is a psychiatrist and an adult and child psychoanalyst at the Argentine Psychoanalytic Association, where he's also a training and supervising analyst. In addition, and this is the focus of our conversation today, Dr. Persano has been appointed as the Director of Mental Health Services for the City of Buenos Aires. And if you think about that, that's really a remarkable combination. He's a psychoanalyst who is devoted essentially to the inner lives and the inner minds of individuals. And he is also now the Director of Mental Health Services of one of the larger cities in the world. How he has each of those jobs, each of those ways of thinking, interact with each other is what we're going to learn about today. In addition, he is a full professor in psychology and nutrition at the School of Medicine at the University of Buenos Aires. He is the author of The Importance of Psychodynamic Diagnosis in Patients with Severe Mental Illness, which appeared in Psychoanalysis and Psychiatry, Partners and Competitors in the Mental Health Field. That was a book published by Routledge in 2019. He was also a collaborator on the Psychodynamic Diagnostic Manual, the second edition. As well, he and I have worked together on the IPA and Health Committee. We will learn a great deal about how someone thinks individually and applies that on large scale. It's really, it's quite a special ability he has, and I hope you enjoy this conversation we have. Umberto, welcome to the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you with us. You know, in considering the various off-the-couch venues to which psychoanalysts contribute their clinical skills, I hadn't anticipated interviewing a psychoanalyst administrator, much less a psychoanalyst administrator of a mental health system of one of the larger cities in the world. But here we are. You have been appointed the Director of Mental Health Services for the City of Buenos Aires. Now, one can immediately wonder, what does that have to do with being a psychoanalyst? And I am confident that over the time of our talking today, we're going to get clarity on what it is as a psychoanalyst that you bring to this work. But before we get there, talk to me and us about what this task is. It seems enormous. The mental health director for the entire city of Buenos Aires, what does that entail?
Okay. What means this task is very complex and very difficult. It means to coordinate and administrate the mental health services around the whole city. It means to work in the very primary level of attention and coordinate this area mainly with the capacitate people to do that work in a very primary level. This is to teach people about mental issues, mainly physicians, pediatricians, nurses. And the second point is to work about with the mental health services in general hospitals. This is to make services directly in the mental health system in the general hospitals, and this is an important area to work. And the final level, the more specific one, is work with psychiatric hospitals in this complex system, and to adapt these hospitals to the new area. As you can see, is not a psychoanalytic task, is an integrated task about different mental disciplines working in the same area. I was fascinated in my past about some psychoanalyst work in this area in Argentina. In the 80s, there was people who placed in this position in the past, and I was fascinated how psychoanalysis could contribute to this area.
Now, when you say you were people in the 80s, these were psychoanalysts who worked in the public health sphere?
Yes, worked in the past. I remember two. One in the city of Buenos Aires is the same position as I work now, as psychoanalyst from the Argentine Psychoanalytical Association, Ricardo Soriano. And in the general mental health system of the whole nation, Argentina, it was Vicente Galli, also from Argentine Psychoanalytic Association in the past, now in the Sociedad Psicoanalítica Argentina, Society for Argentine Psychoanalytic.
So you have mentors in your mind, forerunners, who have worked at this interface.
Yes, I have in my mind former psychoanalysts work in this area, and I work very close to Ricardo Soriano in the 90s, when this direction was created. And his point of view was to work in networks. And I take this challenge to work in networks and in different levels of mental health systems. And I have this in my memory, his work.
To give those of us who are not familiar with the details of life in Buenos Aires, can you share with us how large a city it is, how many hospitals there are, what the kind of population numbers you'll be dealing with is?
Well, Buenos Aires City is a large city where it's not only a geographical city, because the cultural impact on the surroundings is large than the own geographical area of the city. And this is important because this is increase the population of the impact of the interventions. And Buenos Aires City is a city around more than 4 million people living in this area. Is a more complex and vibrant and exciting city, sometimes very struggling in different way of thinking, way of working. It's a city which has 33 hospitals, public hospitals.
33 public hospitals, wow, yeah.
There are a lot of public hospitals in Buenos Aires, and from different approaches. For example, some of them are related to emergency, other ones related to children, other from general hospitals, some were in a very rich part of the city, others are in the population of very lot of large population, but they are not rich people.
Right, right.
Different levels of interventions we need for this city.
And among these 33 hospitals, some are psychiatric hospitals, but some are general hospitals with psychiatric units. Am I correct about that?
Yes, there are four psychiatric hospitals, one for children, and as they were created in the very, very early 19th century, there are one for women, another one for male people, and another one for emergency psychiatric hospital. There are four specialized hospitals.
And there are psychiatry units in the other general hospitals.
Yes, there are some psychiatric units in general hospitals. But according to the new law of mental health in Argentina, we need to create more. It's not psychiatric. It's a problem to use that word, because we need to use the mental health unit.
So you have a mandate, and hopefully funding to support that mandate, to build new settings for mental health patients.
Yes, we need to create a new mental health unit in general hospitals, because the law emphasizes to no stigmatize people suffering from mental disorders. This is a challenge, because it's important to create units in general hospitals. But we need to change the psychiatric hospitals, the old psychiatric hospitals, in this one.
Let me ask you a question about that, because many years ago here in the States, there was an effort to take people out of hospitals, mostly out of chronic hospitals, and treat people in the community. And there were funds and training devoted towards what was called community mental health centers. Does that fit into your design in Buenos Aires, or is that a separate enterprise?
Yes, this is a mandate for the United Nations. And the United Nations and World Health Organizations emphasize to treat people in their own community. And this a mandate also here.
So you're going to be developing outpatient programs as well, or you're now just addressing the need for inpatient beds?
No, one of my thinking is to create programs, specific programs for specific pathologies, because I think mental ill people exist mental illness, and not only the mental suffering. There is a struggle about mental illness and mental suffering, mainly here in Argentina now, because people are pushing through mental suffering and not to mental illness. But I think the mental illness exists, and we need to create programs for that. And the subjectivity of each own people suffering from mental illness is very unique, is very subjective. But I think the mental illness exists
Surely. Let me ask you about your own background here. You have been for 40 years a practicing psychiatrist. You've been a hardworking psychoanalyst. You've been involved in various administrative tasks. Can you share with me and our listeners a bit about yourself that brings you to this moment of being, like we say, a psychoanalyst administrator of such a major mental health system?
Okay, I start as psychiatrist and psychoanalyst training at the same time. And it was, for me, it was fascinating challenge to learn from the psychiatric point of view and at the same time to learn from psychoanalytic theory or framework. And there is a tradition in Argentina, mainly from Lacanian influence in psychoanalysis, that the discourse of the physician of the medicine is not proper for the discourse of the psychoanalysis. And this is, I think it's a problem.
Tell me what you mean by that. I don't follow it.
As Freud has a problem with the psychiatrist in his own area and his own time, people think that psychoanalysis what split from the psychiatry or from the medicine.
And the medical model, yes.
And create a new discipline. And if you work as psychoanalyst, we can't work as a psychiatrist. In the States, it was not a problem because it was a very strong influence of psychoanalysis in psychiatry in the 60s, in the 70s.
Yeah, sure.
But here in Argentina was struggling about these functions, and people think that psychoanalysis couldn't work as a psychiatrist, and this is a very impossible task to be at the same time psychoanalyst and psychiatrist. For me, it's from my point of view, we can enrich our perspectives from different ways. And I think psychoanalysis can reach psychiatry, and psychiatry could enrich the psychoanalytic point of view. Let me think about this. It's not about my history, but I think it's important to clear this.
Yes, it is, yes.
For example, psychoanalysts in the British community developed a new theory called attachment theory, Bowlby. Most of psychoanalysts says, okay, attachment theory is not a psychoanalytic theory, it's another theory because use monkeys for behavior or for understanding laws or understanding attachment behavior. This is not psychoanalytic task. I think this is a mistake because attachment theory was developed from psychoanalytic. Now it's own way, but it's very related, and attachment workers or attachment people who work in this area have developed, for example, images on fMRI on the brain using new neuroscientific approach to understand how children with attachment disorganization behavior can affect the brain network.
Then the question becomes, given that there's real data on this, how does one clinically work with it? That is a fair question, I think, for people who appreciate the importance of this attachment experience and the attachment data is, do you let it get revived in the transference? Do you let it live between in the dyad? And if so, how? And what are the approaches to help the person develop more attachment capacities, more attachment varieties, so they're not stuck in predetermined patterns? That would be, to me, the analytic question to the attachment model.
Yes, I think we work with the people who have how the attachment behavior can arise in the transference process. And this is important for psychoanalysis. But, for example, in the mental health systems, it's important to watch the dyads, mother babies, with how they attach them are. And you can see or watch in a very few minutes how they relate each other. And this is a visual issue. And psychoanalytic issue are related to listen to the people. I think it's very important to listen and see or watch behaviors. And this is important because psychiatry was orientated mainly with seeing, watching, or listening to people, but psychoanalysis was orientated mainly to listen to the people. In my point of view, we can enrich from these different perspectives, and you can leave this approach to the general system of mental health. People who are watching people, how they behave, people who are listening to the people, how they talk about their own life. I think this is how my career in psychiatry and in psychoanalysis could be mixed in one way.
So Umberto, tell me if I understand what you're saying correctly, that you're sort of answering the question as we began, which is, what is it that you bring as a psychoanalyst to your administrative work? And if I understand you right, you're saying that the psychoanalytic attunement to listening, to watching, to being attuned to the inner experience of the individual actually plays a role in your making large decisions about general psychiatric units and psychiatric hospitals, that the essence of the clinical encounter has an influence on how you look at the larger administrative challenges. Do I have it right so far?
Yes.
Yes. And that your notion of attachment is the theory that links them all, that seeing attachment in the clinical situation, in the dyad, seeing attachment between parent and child, seeing the attachment manifested in fMRIs, so there's real hard data, appreciating that attachment is the theory that extends itself to appreciating how clinicians work in the community, in the hospital unit, in the design of the hospital unit. Is that also what you're saying?
Yes, for example, this is one example. Attachment theory was a psychoanalytic theory, but it was extend their field to the neuroscience, like fMRI, or yes, to behavioral observation, clinic child behavioral observation, or to go to the school, seeing teachers and children working in an educational program, and we can observe their behaviors, children behaviors, and if you use psychoanalytic theory to understand their behaviors, we can detect early problems in infancy. I think it is very important, the approach from psychoanalysis to very extend way like social interactions or neuroscientific approaches. This is one example. I would like to give an example of this. In the early 90s, I went to Birmingham in UK to work with Ian Brockington. This is a psychiatrist, not a psychoanalyst. But he created a mother unit baby for mothers who are suffering from mental illness in the Manchester city, Manchester region.
Manchester, yes, right.
And I remember in 1992, I went to a home visit with him. The problem was a baby crying in the night. What to do with that? Okay. When we went to the home, we watched a very mess home with an adolescent mother with a young baby. It was unwished pregnant mother. The father was an addict man. The grandmother worked as a cleaner office. And it was a very mess in this home. And we see a child, a very young baby with problems, with insomnia problems, a mother with a crisis to how to raise a baby in without experience, and the grandmother who need to work to support the whole family.
Uh-huh.
And the intervention of this psychiatrist was, okay, let the grandmother work. The adolescent mother will refer to the mother unit baby where another mother's help her to handle the baby relation with this adolescent mother. And we understand that the problem was the crisis of the baby insomnia, crying in the night, we solved with the help, with another mother's helping this young mother to understand how is the relationship among the complexity of the baby and the mother, and relieve the grandmother to work to support the family. This is an example of how this psychoanalytic understanding for me, that I was a psychoanalyst working in watching this situation, and I think we can extend this experience to the mental health system. Work, for example, in the primary level of attention, going to home visit to watch what is it, this home function. Maybe this could carry out by nurses, social worker, not psychoanalysts, but the psychoanalytic understanding of the situation can help to design programs in the mental health system.
Yes, the skills you bring as a psychoanalyst really are the skills of an integrator, is what I hear you describing. You integrate different levels of understanding and different levels of intervention, and you, unlike most of us, will be in a position to really make large changes in institutions to affect that accessibility of services for people, which is a remarkably daunting task, and what a privilege, I would assume, at the same time to, you know, we who work in smaller units, and I know you do clinical analytic work as well, so you know this well, we affect the people we treat and the many people they come in contact with, their family members, their spouses, their children, their community. And that's one way to have a large reach to improve people's lives. You're going to be having another angle on this. You're going to be actually working with large institutions, changing the lives of the workers there and their communities, but also the recipients of care will be influenced by your sensitive ear. They're lucky, and you're lucky to have such a task.
Oh, thank you. I think it's a challenge for me to do this job, but I support my ideas on some psychoanalytic approaches. For example, research. In Sweden, Rolf Sandell carried out a study about comparing psychotherapy, cognitive behavioral approach, psychoanalytic psychotherapy, and psychoanalysis. And this is a very large study carried out in the 90s, I think. And Rolf Sandell compared in a double-blind example research where how did psychotherapy function, and it was amazing for me to understand that the people who receive psychoanalytic therapy improve their functioning 2 years after the treatment ends. And important, because psychoanalysis change the mind, the psychic organization, and this is lasting, it's enduring treatment, it's functioning after you end your treatment.
Sure.
You emphasize on these observations, or for example, in German system of health, Marianne Lesenguber-Bolever, sorry for my German pronunciation accents, but Marianne carried out an research on how the psychoanalytic approaches improve the impact on the health of people who receive this kind of treatment, and the result was happiness. People who are more happy work in the happiest way, and they enjoy their jobs, and the impact on the health system decrease the cost of the health system. And this is psychoanalytic understanding, and this is very important. I think we need to encourage people to work in this way. We encourage young psychoanalysts to be involved in the general health system. We have some efficacy research like Sandel or Young, and we can talk to neurologists, neuroscientifics, clinical physicians, pediatrician. We have a lot of work in the world, around the world, and we can use this information to improve in some way the mental health system. This is my goal, my ambitious goal of change something.
You've made it very clear that the people who chose you for this important position chose very wisely. You bring a thoughtfulness, a passion, and a deep caring to this work that will be of inordinate benefit to the people in the community of Buenos Aires. Umberto, thank you. Thank you for the work you do, and thank you for sharing it with us. And when you say you would like young clinicians to become aware of what we can bring as clinicians, as psychoanalysts to the community, that's the purpose of this podcast series. That's the purpose of you and I speaking. And hopefully we will be inspiring people to bring their psychoanalytic skills in addition to the consulting room, not instead of, but in addition to the consulting room, also off the couch. And you're a marvelous example to many of us for that. Thank you so much for spending time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Harvey. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If I may, I'd like to ask you to help us publicize our podcast by rating us on iTunes or simply sharing it with a friend. You can also visit our webpage, ipaoffthecouch.org, where you can both subscribe and also add your comments. I'd also like to acknowledge the lovely rendition of Beethoven's Opus 18th String Quartet by the Allegri String Quartet on the Vivat label.